In Baltimore, owning a gun is a necessity, according to our next guest, who says he grew up feeling like he needed a gun.
Today, Dee Watkins is an established journalist and an adjunct professor at Coppin State University. He runs a creative writing workshop at the Baltimore Free School. His piece, Gunplay is All I Know, just ran in Salon. Dee, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm great, great. Thanks for having me.
Well, you write that it's easier to get a gun than a job in East Baltimore. How easy was it to get a gun when you were growing up?
Well, as a child growing up in East Baltimore, there was numerous locations around my own neighborhood where you could get a gun from. And I'm not talking about traditional gun stores. I'm talking about like houses where people had boxes and boxes and boxes of guns. Whatever you want, automatic, revolvers, extended clips, assault rifles. You can pretty much get whatever you wanted.
And you even took a gun to prom. How come? Why was that necessary?
At that particular time, in the early 2000s, people were being murdered. And, you know, I never shot anyone. I never would want to see anything bad happen to anyone, but I also didn't want to see anything bad happen to me or my date. So that was something that I had to do.
Now, just recently, you were floored by the death of your friend Free, who got hit and killed by mistake in a gun accident during some gun violence. But he's far from the first death by gun that you've actually been through in your life. What happened with Free?
He was a great guy. He was a city worker. He's never been like, he had some small brushes with the law that I found out about recently, but never anything serious. Just like, you know, like Open Container or Lord of the Rings or things like that. But, you know, he got his life together. He used to always tell everyone in our neighborhood that we need to be organ donors. And he was a great guy. He worked for the city. He was taking care of his two daughters. He was a great guy. And he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Some guys got in an argument. They started shooting, and like a bullet hit the wall, bounced off of the wall and hit him. So, you know, it wasn't even meant for him. And it was just a super unfortunate situation because for me, you know, being in my early 30s, you know, I'm used to, like, when I was a kid, I was always used to people who were like 16, 17 years old getting murdered, and guys who were like 40, it didn't really happen like that, especially guys who weren't in the street. And he wasn't a street guy, so, you know, it was in a situation there. You know, I feel bad for him and his family.
So you said, you know, he was a family guy, he had daughters, and he wasn't a street guy. But how common was it for people you knew to be shot and killed in the part of Baltimore where you live?
Well, it happens a lot. You know, I go, at a minimum, I go to at least about 2 funerals a year.
Wow.
It's not that it's uncommon, but a lot of times, you know, these are guys who are more reckless in participating in illegal activities, who are, you know, my family members or my friends or the kids of my friends and things like that. But for a guy like Free, it was just so strange to me because, you know, again, you know, you think a guy who works for the city that's in his 40s wouldn't die like that, you know, so.
You know, you write in your piece, you say, I know cops hated me when I was a notorious dope dealer, and now they hate me as a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen who pulls kids off the corner. I can't remember a time when I wasn't being harassed or profiled. What do you think has gone wrong with the way police deal with gun violence as you see it?
I think there's a big error in communication. I think that a lot of cops, you know, they see a person like me, and I don't know if you know what I look like or not, but that's me on the article.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, which I guess doesn't really say a lot, but they see a person like myself, and, you know, they see some of the people who, you know, some of the places we go, and, you know, some of the places we hang and some of my family members and things like that, and they tend to put us all in the same box. Whereas if you see me and my friends, you might see a guy who just came home from prison who's trying to get his life together. You might see me, who's a college professor, and you might see another friend of mine who's develops websites. But just because we're all from a certain section of East Baltimore, they put us in a box, and they treat us all like criminals without even getting a chance to understand, you know, who they're talking to. Because, you know, we have the same agenda. Cops don't want to see guys selling drugs in the streets, and I don't want to see guys selling drugs in the streets, but they look at us and they see our style of dress, and they see, you know, the way we wear our haircuts and things like that, and they just put us all in the box, and it's kind of not fair. And I think that if the Baltimore Police Department took more time to, you know who are the people in their neighborhoods and what they do and what they're about, I think these things wouldn't happen. Because like I said, cops pulled a gun on me, and I was just putting a scooter in my garage.
Well, today you're a successful writer. You've got a big presence online. You're a professor. Do you still feel like you have that? Like you have need for a gun? Do you still need one?
Yeah, I do. I do need a gun, and you know, again, I'm not into guns. I'm not that guy who's going to go to the gun range. One of the guns I own right now has never been shot, ever, and I had it for for a long time, maybe like 10 years. So it's like, I need it because, you know, in Baltimore, people will come in your house. They will try to attack you and your family. People will, they'll try you. And, you know, a lot of people are trying to harm you, even, you know, some of the police officers. So it's like, it's more or less a protection thing. I would love to live in a world where I didn't need it, but there's so many evil people out there that make you need it to feel safe. And I hate that. I hate that feeling. But you know, I don't want to die in my own house, and no, I don't carry it or take it out of my house. So it's mainly like a home thing.
Well, Wisconsin's largest city, Milwaukee, is in the grips of a gun violence problem now. Do you have any advice for city leaders about how to stop it?
I think communication is the key. I think gun buyback programs seem to do pretty well as far as like giving a lot of guns off the street. But I think if, police officers were able to communicate more with the people in some of these communities, then you would see, like, a drastic change. And then I also think that even from the street level, like, it's always a communication error. It's always, like, some male bravado thing, who's the toughest, who's the last man standing. And even a lot of those issues could be solved through basic, simple communication. Legal or illegal, we all want the same things. You know, we all want to see our families do well. We all want to experience love. We all want to be successful. We're all human. So, you know, a lot of these guys these gun slinging guys they're the products of American culture in general. I can't communicate with you, so I must kill you.
Hmm. Well, one thing that you say in your piece, you write that murder culture seems to be as permanent in African American culture as hip hop. Does it have to be that way? Are there solutions here that we're missing? Is it the communication that you're just talking about?
It's the communication. Most of these people, as a small child, gun culture so here in Baltimore. One of the first murders I ever saw was a guy killed another guy over a dollar, And it ties back into that culture of, you're not going to disrespect me. You're not going to take advantage of me. You're not going to be the kind of person that can do anything to make me look, soft or inadequate or, just not like a stand-up guy. So all of these things are tremendous communication errors that lead to people not believing in humanity, that lead to people doing these monstrous acts.
Dee, thank you so much for coming on and for sharing your thoughts with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Hopefully everything works out down there. I hate, I don't even like having these conversations. I just want people to spread love.
We appreciate you being on and talking. Dee Watkins is a writer and an adjunct professor at Coppin State University. He runs a creative writing workshop at the Baltimore Free School. His piece, Gunplay Is All I Know, just ran in Salon.com.